This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, folks. It is Monday, and you're listening to Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, and this is the place where we talk about initiatives, ideas, institutions, and individuals here in the Willamette Valley. Things that affect your life, your quality of life, and your wallet, especially we're talking a lot about these days. Thanks for joining us. We're here every Monday through Friday, and if you miss a show or you hear about a show with a great guest, you can catch our show via podcast on the KYKN.com website. So if you didn't hear recently, what comes to mind was Bud Pierce was a great show.
Absolutely.
Bud Pierce, we could have had him on for 3 hours and only exhausted about 10% of the topics he can speak to. So that was really interesting. And I hope that he stays in the public eye. And I hope we got some exposure to his podcast and his newsletter, Dr. Bud Pierce, who ran for governor. And I voted for him, actually. And oncologist. So that's a great one. And if you missed that one, you can catch that on the podcast on the website. But it is Monday. There are things in the news, things that happened at the Capitol building on Friday. And as I recall, there might have been a parade in Kaiser this weekend.
Yes, there was.
And
we had a good time.
We had a local celebrity by the name of Dave Bourne.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Riding in the KYKN truck. Van?
It's our van, yeah.
It's the radio station van in the parade. How did that go?
That was awesome.
Yeah, lots of people out.
I would estimate a good 4,000 or more.
Well,
the parade route's pretty long. I didn't realize it was that long.
And you didn't get wet, right?
No, it was sunny. I actually got some sunburn on the left side of me.
Oh.
I was like waving at my arm. My left arm's burnt. My right one's still kind of white.
All right. So we're going to talk about some of the things that happened in the legislature on Friday.
What happened Friday?
The cap and trade bill exited the committee.
Oh,
so it got voted out of committee on party line vote, of course. 8 Democrats, yes, and 6 Republicans, no. And that's so the steps are going to be, it's going to go to Ways and Means and then pass the House and Senate. But yeah, it's moving out of committee.
So, it's going to pass?
I think everybody's expecting it's going to pass. The real question is, what will its final form be? What amendments?
My question, Brent, my question is, why?
Because we need to save the planet.
I'm sorry, but technology is, we were just talking about this on Sunday, too, during our Camaro cruise. Why? Cap and trade. Why? Because technology has advanced so much in the last 100 years that we are cleaner than we've ever been. Even new cars nowadays don't have to go through DEQ. They're that clean. So why do we have to pass cap and trade? Yeah, I'm going to pay credits so that I can continue polluting on the other side. It doesn't do anything but raise money. Oh, wait, more taxes.
Oh, he just answered his own question.
Wow.
You just wait long enough and that happens. Okay, so it depends on the answer to that question depends on how cynical you are, right? And so if you believe that this is really just a money grab and that they want to control vast amounts of money to spend where they want to do it in this cap and trade. And then if you're not cynical at all and you believe that we're all destroying the earth and we'll be lucky to live through this generation before the earth becomes uninhabitable kind of thing, then it's instant. You know, we need to move in our little corner of the world and move forward. So, and stop the climate change.
See, is there smoke coming out of my ears right now? Because America is, and I'm talking the United States here, North America, United States, Canada, for the most part, cleanest countries on the planet.
Are we? Our carbon footprint for America is pretty high.
Our carbon, it may be high, but it's not as high as the rest of the world. Remember, most of the rest of the world is third world still.
At least.
Okay, so they're still burning like China. Have you seen like Amazing Race, for instance? They're in Taiwan right now. We're like an episode or two behind, but they're all wearing masks as they drive around on their little mopeds because it's one of the most polluted areas on the planet. Beijing has the worst air quality on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
We are nowhere near that.
Yes, but does that mean we should do nothing?
We have already done. I think we've already done enough. We should be selling our clean products to them.
Oh, we should cap and trade. We should cap them and trade.
For the
Chinese.
All right.
Let's talk about the bill.
There are so many regulations on American companies to make the air clean, like companies that produce things. Their smokestacks have to have millions of dollars of equipment in them to clean out the air. I mean, it's ridiculous.
All right. So this will make Oregon, should it pass, only paired up with California as the two states that are implementing a cap and trade system. And it's really hard to explain. I mean, you really can just kind of, it's really hard to explain.
No, it's easy.
Because the title doesn't really do it justice.
No, cap and trade does not explain what it is.
So they want to tax, basically,
mm-hmm.
They want to charge companies that produce at least 25,000 metric tons of emissions a year. So conceptually, if you believe that this is going to work as an economic force, then it's going to take companies that produce the emissions and give them an economic incentive to stop emitting, right? By punishing them with having to pay pay the tax, sell their credits and so forth, or buy credits kind of thing. So it's going to take large emitters and give them a financial hammer in the head to reduce their emissions. And then theoretically, providing capital to green companies that are lower emission, new technologies, greener companies.
That make no money. They don't. They're trying to subsidize green energy programs and things that are not viable right now.
They're not viable right now. You're exactly right. And they're trying to make them viable. They're trying to create an
How many?
Not defending it, but okay. I think you're stating the obvious.
Yes, I am.
You're going to take these technologies, and you're going to provide an economic incentive with this hammer of you have to pay,
mm-hmm.
and then giving the money to where they want society to go, right? Which is pretty much everything that we have the government do.
Take
money from somewhere and move it to where they want society.
For instance, there were several companies that created solar panels and things like that. They built plants in Hillsboro. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Yeah, because President Obama, when he came and actually was there and gave them billions of dollars to build this plant. And guess what? It's closed down now. The jobs didn't happen because, wait for it, subsidies went away.
So, yeah, I'm gonna separate myself from my fiscal conservative friends a little bit on this. I don't really have a problem with it. I actually believe that in America, both companies, employers, employees, managers, and the government need to accept an occasional failure.
Right?
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it. We're going to invest in this, and this is our goal, and we think it's a good policy goal. No. Maybe I wouldn't have made the same decision, right?
Right.
As President Obama, it's entirely likely I won't make the exact same decisions as President Obama, right?
Right.
But if the government wants to encourage this and subsidize that in the goals of a public policy goal, and they don't win them all. You know, Reagan wanted Star Wars defense and ultimately became too expensive. Technology was not ready. Right. Should he have not done it? Should he have not proposed it? Should he have not spent any money?
Are we there now, though?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Anyway, it's one of those things. Yes, it failed. Yeah, I know. But I'm not going to fault them for trying, I guess.
Well, there are certain technologies that have really excelled. One of them is solar and one of them is wind. I mean, we have a huge wind farm out in the gorge. I don't know if you've seen it or not. Out there past Biggs. But it's huge and they've put in a lot more. Is it creating enough electricity to shut down Boardman? I don't know. You know?
All right. Well, let's take a break because we'll finish up the talk on the House Bill 2020 and some of our politicians have to say about it.
Okay.
And then we're going to talk about our city council and what they think about climate change and how much money our city council should spend on having a Yeah, a Save the Planet policy. Right?
Zero.
Yeah, here we go. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. You're listening to Newsmakers. We're talking about cap and trade as it moved out of its subcommittee on Friday.
We shouldn't be talking about it at all.
On our on a party line vote. It's going to be one of those things that passes through the legislature this session without a Republican vote.
Did we vote for this? No.
We're not going to vote for this.
Did we vote for our lawmakers to vote for this? No.
The state did vote for Kate Brown, and Kate Brown campaigned upon this.
So they have didn't vote for her. So
Democratic supermajorities in both House and Senate voted in, and Brown campaigned on this. We're going to make this happen. And it's been, you know, before the legislature for a while, a few different times, and not made its way through. And the Democrats are saying, well, we have supermajorities, and
so
this is the year. Ram it through. So this part, and I'd like to thank the Salem Reporter for the article. Democrats... Here's a paragraph about they agreed to give Senator Cliff Bentz, who's a Republican, he's from Ontario, and he's a staunch opponent.
Right.
Totally against this, right?
Okay.
So they agreed to give him more involvement because he's on this subcommittee. And so they allowed him, the co-chairs of the committee, they allowed him to offer amendments on Friday's meeting. Huh? What do you know? They all got voted down. So thanks for your involvement.
Yeah.
You know, we can say that you were allowed to raise your hand and have objections or bring in new ideas.
Brent,
we're just going to reject them all.
This is why I hate politics. This is why most people don't get involved in it, because of that reason right there. Yeah. Your representation still doesn't get represented even when they give them concessions.
So, and again, this is going to be one of these perspective things where the Republicans are arguing that, like your argument, like, what can Oregon do? We're a little tiny pin, you know,
on the map compared to the world.
What's coming out of India and China.
Yeah, exactly.
So on and so forth. And countries that are building, are burning a lot of sulfur-laden coal and things like that. So the Republicans were commenting that this is not going to make a dent in the global climate change problem.
No.
It's not going to make any difference. So why are we saddling our economy and our producers and our production and our businesses and job creation and everything on this kind of convoluted system?
And their answer was?
And the answer is that, well, we need to be a leader.
Oh.
We need to be a leader in this fight. And we're already behind, and we're going to join California.
I'm sorry.
And so on and so forth.
I bet if you look, Brent, right now at, you know how they have those thermal cameras from the set, from space? I bet if you looked at the pollution in the world, and it was all over the world, and it's coming this way. It's right like a big cloud toward Oregon, because we don't cut down our trees anymore. So they're all sucking in that smog. And it's all coming toward Oregon. That's what I think it is.
It must be it.
It must be it. Because we have this little spot around Oregon. It's clean, but all the smog's coming toward us. But the trees, they circulate it and use it. And that's why the trees are so green.
I remember we were talking about tax incentives. And
oh, God.
To have to affect changes in American society, culture. And
sure.
You know, there's ones we like and there's ones we don't like. But we can't throw out the tool wholeheartedly because there's one that we don't like. Like, we all like that the U.S. government, through the Congress and IRS, incentivizes home ownership by allowing you to deduct your tax. Your interest on your home.
Yep.
But make no mistake, that is absolutely a behavior modification tool. They believe, and I agree, that home ownership is positive for America.
Yes.
And that it is the reason why America created a middle class.
Yep.
Largely because, really, personal property, and as we know it and accept it in our culture, was not anything like this in the 1700s.
No.
So the concept that you may have land, you came from nothing and you were a serf in Europe, and you came and you could get land, and that's what separated people generationally, whole societies of people generationally to be able to own land. All right, so homeowner interest deduction. It's incentivizing us to buy a house because there's a tax incentive and it helps us pay for that house, right? So we like that.
Sure.
Some of these other things, maybe not so much because we don't believe that in their goal, or we don't believe how they want to go about it.
Right.
So let's say we 100% believe in climate change and something needs to be done.
But we have been doing things.
You could still be 100% off of agreeing that cap and trade is a good tool. That it's a huge government intrusion. It's a huge government overreach.
Totally.
And it creates a huge government
more fund, red tape.
Fund yeah. of money that they get to spend however they want.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, the climate's going to be all fixed because we're paying this cap and trade tax. All right, let's talk about city council and how it relates.
Okay.
Salem Councilor Chris Hoy.
Oh, boy.
He's one of those councilors who voted the bridge down. Let's not forget that. He's okay. One of those councilors that's kind of lockstep with Tom Anderson. He's one of the Tommy Toons. Right? Tommy Trons? Tommy Trons.
Okay.
Tom Anderson, Chris Hoy, a Tommy Tron. He's frustrated. We're the only major city in the state that doesn't have a climate action plan, he's quoted as saying, and this is Statesman Journal. That's reprehensible. It's inexcusable. We are the state capital. We should be a leader. So they want the city of Salem to have a climate action plan. Then the real question then is, how broad is that? I mean, is it like
that's huge.
Climate action? Okay, well, if you're talking about the city and its buildings, its vehicles, its operations, having an action plan to do your part, yeah, all right. You're talking about changing your light bulbs and going LED? Yep.
Yep.
I mean, we've already done it with streetlights, which
right.
is awesome.
Yeah,
which,
right.
Saved incredible amounts of money in electric bills that can now go to maintain our streets and sidewalks and what have you. But
yeah, they need to get on that.
So that's great. When I talk about doing those kinds of things, just make sure that it's not overreach, people, or you think, again, it's the city's job to save the world. That's where the city councilors sit there, and I want them to focus on Salem.
Right.
Fire, police, our roads, our water, our sewer, our parks, our library. Focus on Salem and only Salem. Do not focus on what's happening in the Trump administration. Do not focus what's happening internationally with China. I mean, just focus on Salem, please.
Just focus on running the city.
Run the city.
Yeah. Not my straws, not my cups, not my styrofoam.
So they're looking for money, of course, to fund the climate action plan. At least, Tom Anderson was talking about, well, there's other cities with climate action plans. Can we cut and paste? He didn't say it that way, but yeah,
pretty
can
much.
We just adopt somebody the work that somebody else has already done? We don't
right.
have to go and start at zero and hire up and have our own consultants start from zero. Just look and see what's working in other cities, which... And that way, it helps not to be an early adopter.
Yeah, please, please don't copy Portland. Please.
And Portland's had theirs since I think it's like 2000.
Yes, 2002. Please don't copy Portland.
All right. So the report says that in 2016 they did some testing, some results of the survey, and Salem's carbon emissions are about middle of the pack compared to six other Oregon cities, and they find that not good enough.
It really.
Leader of the pack, right?
Uh-huh.
So
aren't the buses like biodiesel already? They smell like french fries.
I don't know about biodiesel, but I know that there's a good percentage of the buses that are running on a compressed natural gas.
Oh, then there's that.
You'll see them.
Yeah.
CNG is pretty interesting. We'll talk about CNG here in a second, because that goes back to some of the questions I had in the mid-90s, actually, and got an education on CNG. Anyway, back to Mr. Councilor Hoy. At least the guy puts his money where his passions are,
okay.
And where his belief systems are. He says he spent $8,000 outfitting his house with solar panels to power his Tesla.
Good for him.
Yeah, good choice.
Good
personal
for him.
Choice. Just don't make the choice for all of us.
It's not my choice.
Okay.
It's your choice. You want to put solar? I would like to put solar panels on my house.
And here's, yeah, you should do
it's
that.
It's not cheap, though.
No. Well,
see, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. There's companies that put solar panels on, and then they siphon off the electricity that it, you know, they put it on for you.
It's still an investment. Quite an investment.
No, that you pay nothing.
What?
Yeah, they put it up at their expense, but they get the lion's share of the energy savings.
Of course they do.
But.
Well, okay.
Next home show. The next home show. Dave Boyne will head out there. All right. So they're talking about, we're cycling back here with the city council, talking about having a climate action plan for Salem. It would cost $120,000 to complete the plan and require 4 full-time employees to administer. There's the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
4 full-time employees. Now I suddenly want to get, I want to be like,
so it's about $200,000 a year.
The X-Man that can read everybody's minds. I'd like to know the collective mm-hmm. wisdom and thought of Salemites about having 4 full-time employees to administer. It'd be more than that, because even if you paid them 50, there's $50,000 in benefits with PERS. So that's got to be
just wrong.
$400,000 and so forth.
Any new employee should be on the 401k.
So the question is, you're right, and that's the case. Wouldn't you rather spend that money on police officers?
Yes.
Would you rather spend that money on firemen? Mm-hmm. Would you rather spend that money on librarians? Would you rather spend that money on fill in the blank? People fixing potholes. You know, the whole nine yards. How would you like to spend that money? 4 full-time employees. It's one of those things like, we want to do this, but then it creates an ongoing need and a tight budget deliberation where they're already cutting programs. They're cutting in half the homeless program contribution.
Yeah.
They're cutting that in half, but we're going to have 4 full-time employees
to go manage green?
to manage the climate action plan.
To go
Can't
green.
You just have a plan and then give it to the department heads and say execute it?
Yeah. That's how it usually works.
Yeah. And then it's one of those things where you've now created more bureaucracy, like we talked last week.
Red tape.
Bud Pierce was talking about last week where the Oregon Health Plan created the community care organizations, and they didn't cut any of their own organization, right? So all they did is double in the administration, and that's how we save money in healthcare in Oregon.
Woo,
doggy. All right, stick with us. This is Brent with Dave. Come right back. You're listening to Newsmakers. 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center. And the frustration continues.
Well, we could talk about something else if you like. Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with...
Sometimes it just feels like we're beating a dead horse. But then again, we're talking sensible.
That is the question Dave Bourne posed to me at the top of the hour, saying, hey, tomorrow is election day.
It is.
Tomorrow is the date we vote. And the question is, does it matter? Do you feel like your vote counts? I happen to, because even though I'm just one number...
Yes. You know,
there's a collective of me that voted this way, and I want people to know how many people feel that way. So again, my philosophy departs from some other, I don't know, politically minded friends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't vote third party, or you don't vote for this, or you hold your nose and vote, or, you know, things like that. I said, you know what? I want to be, counted as somebody who voted, let's use an example. I've voted third party before.
Right.
Right? I know the guy's not going to win.
But you voted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I voted, and I absolutely feel like it got counted.
Yeah.
So it got counted by saying, I don't like these two major parties, and there's a bunch of us that don't. So the argument is that, well, your vote doesn't count then because you didn't. The vote always counts. I mean, if you vote for a Republican in Oregon, typically it doesn't count in that, you know, in that regard. It counts. You don't have to be voting for the winner for it to be counted. You're counted as an individual vote.
Right.
Right. So collectively, there's a bunch of us who were inclined to vote third party maybe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if everybody who didn't hold their nose and voted third party, that would be a number and a force to be reckoned with. Right?
Absolutely.
We're gonna be so I'm like, my person is not gonna win, but this is my protest. I'm voting against this two-party system and voting for this person that I know is gonna win. And that's just one.
Here's the question though. If you open up this ballot for the May election and there's only one person on the ballot, or maybe not even one, what do you do then? Do you feel like, why vote? Because that's the consensus, is that these May elections are really low voter turnout because there really isn't two people running for one of these positions, or not even one. And so they're like, why bother?
Or if they're in Polk County, there is a, you know, a money measure. So then they want to turn it in.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
So, yeah, and it's frustrating, you know, especially if you don't know the judge and you don't know the person running for library board or water and sewer conservation district
board. Most of the chances are you don't know them. And most of the time, judges only run, there's only one with nobody opposing them.
Yeah, and that's kind of an industry code where, you know, an attorney doesn't want to run against a sitting judge because they may have to face that judge and they were the candidate.
See,
and so forth.
Politics. Like, hate it.
Yes, yes, yes. So in those cases, yeah, it's frustrating. And sometimes I will vote for the lone candidate. Sometimes if it's nobody ran, I'll write somebody in.
Your best friend? Mickey Mouse?
Somebody I think, definitely not Mickey Mouse. I take it more serious than that. And sometimes I'll look at my voters' information packet and I see who's endorsed them.
Oh.
And if I don't like who's endorsed them and what they have to say, then I don't vote for them, which doesn't make them lose, but it does count as an undercount, is the industry slang, undercount, where somebody had a ballot and they turned it in, but they didn't fill something in for that race.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, tomorrow's means a no vote, right?
It's not the same as no vote because I didn't vote for something for an alternative.
Say you filled it all out except for one. Mm-hmm. You didn't mark anything. That would count as a no vote, wouldn't it?
No. It's counted as an undercount.
Or undecided?
Because it'll say 1,500 ballots were received and 1,300 voted for judge so-and-so.
Okay.
And 200 didn't fill it out.
So it would be undecided. Isn't there a category for that?
Yeah, you don't fill it in.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's an undercount. That's what it means when you're reading the election results. You know, the Republican got this, the Democrat got this, and the undercount was. And how many people looked at it, turned in a ballot, but didn't make a selection.
Got it.
So, and you know, there's a lot of those when people are running on a post, like for mayor in the fall kind of thing.
You know what I like about you, Brent?
What do you like about me?
Like
I was
how
wondering.
You explain those things. I learned something every day from you. I learned that today.
Oh, well, thank you for being with us. I hope somebody is learning from us.
Turn in your ballot tomorrow.
That's right. Turn in your ballot. You want to be one of those 4/4 voters. I tried to explain this last week because the politicos, the people who are running campaigns, they're pulling lists of who votes all the time. Right?
Right. Yes,
so
they
are. So if you want to be an opinion leader and you want to be turned to as a voter of importance, vote every time. Don't skip the off elections. Don't skip the special elections. 4 out of 4 means in the last 4 elections, not presidential elections, the last 4 elections in your area, did you turn in a ballot?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that they target for more information, more education, more as opinion leaders. So 4 out of 4, not to mention the fact that voting is fun and it's our civic duty.
Absolutely.
So 4/4 voters, you're going to find you get more invitations to campaign events. You'll get more informational pieces in the mail. I said, we need more of those, right?
Right.
And so forth. So, yeah, I always want to make sure I turn in a ballot no matter what's on it. So, tomorrow, folks, and don't mail it.
It's too late to mail.
Don't mail it. Go drop it off on one of the drop sites in Polk County or Marion County or whatever county your voice is hearing this. But especially in Polk County because they do have the measure for public safety.
I was at, I stopped in St. Paul a couple of days ago to get some money out, and there was a notice on the door that said that it's no longer a collection site for ballots. I thought that was kind of strange.
They do move them around here and there, so.
Yeah, most of the time they're at a library or a post office, right?
Post office is very common, especially
big. But libraries are big for it.
Yeah, I know. I believe in West Salem, Roth's is a drop-off site.
Really?
It has been in the past. Roth's.
So I wonder if it still is.
So
find the nearest one near you. Fill out your ballot. Drop it off tomorrow morning.
Okay, I found the quote I was thinking about. Sorry, everyone. I'm going to go back 10 minutes. We were talking about cap and trade.
Oh,
and
God.
Here's
really.
Sorry, I just got you calmed down. The proceeds from the sales of the credits for people who are polluting, companies that are polluting,
okay,
would go to highway projects, mm-hmm, climate mitigation projects, nice buzzword, rural and minority communities, and other programs. In other words, they make it sound like no matter where you are, there's something in it for you.
Uh-huh.
Right? Now forget the fact that your natural gas bill is going to go up, that it's going to cost more to buy gasoline, and all of these, that the cost of living in Oregon is going to go up. But, and then it's very vague. I mean,
very.
Oh, climate mitigation projects.
What?
Highway projects. How much do you think a supermajority of Democrats are going to spend on highway projects?
Uh-huh.
Rural and minority. So they're kind of grabbing everybody saying, oh, these are going to be these communities. You're all going to reap the benefit of having this new tax and other programs. And there's a lot of people have the issue with that.
I have an issue with that.
Money coming in that's unearmarked. It's not really earmarked for anything. But they think by penalizing the producers, it's going to create that economic incentive we're talking about. All right. Enough of that. We're done with that.
Thank God.
At least until it passes the House and then the Senate, and then we're really going to...
Call your representatives and tell them no on the cap and trade. We don't need it. We don't. They just passed a $1 billion thing for schools.
A billion a year
for schools. They said for schools. You know it's not mostly for schools. It's to pay off the PERS debt. They don't need cap and trade.
All right. Since we've got you aggravated anyway, we're going to spend another minute aggravating Dave Bourne here. We talked about this a little bit last week and how there's all this more money coming into the state coffers because the economy is so good. In the first quarter of 2019, more money came in tax revenue to the state than any other quarter in history. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
And what are they going to do with it? And I read all those.
Yeah. What are they doing?
Every Democrat said, "This is how we should spend it. This is how we should save it. This is what we should put it towards," and neglecting the fact that it needs to go to the kicker. Okay. And the kicker thing. So, there's a legislative fiscal officer named Ken Rocco who is quoted in this article, and he's saying that the state would have to, and again, we're talking about current services. We want to keep current services going into the next biennium. He says the state needs 14% more money.
What?
14%
more money. Did you get a 14% raise?
No, not even a 7% raise per year.
I haven't seen a 3.
Just to keep in place services now being provided because of inflation, pay raises, cost hikes in supplies and services. Healthcare and PERS? It didn't even mention healthcare.
What?
Yeah. Anyway, so there's that, and it also doesn't keep in the fact that they just passed this $1 billion and these other and tobacco tax and the health premium tax and so on and so forth.
So they forgot about that already.
So yeah, let's ignore that and say, hey, we should keep some of those. So it's the Speaker of the House is what I'm looking at, and she says they have an interesting situation. We could have a sizable set of refunds going out, back kick in a kicker. And spend a good chunk of the money on one-time investments again. So, folks, hold on. This is your kicker, and they're still talking. And they do need Republican votes, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to, I think it was a 2000 amendment to this, a state law, that they're going to need more Republicans to vote or more representatives to vote for this than they do for a tax increase to keep the kicker. So they would need two Republicans to vote to withhold the kicker money.
Doesn't this have to go back to the people?
No.
Why not? It's our kicker. Why not?
Well, yeah. Yes, the money has to go back unless like 80%. We've got to get this right. I don't want to get misinformation in here, but we'll get that.
No,
right.
We should be able to vote on if we get the kicker or if we want to give it back to them.
Well, you don't want to vote every time. You just want to make it them have to give it to her. Okay, we did vote
I
on
like,
that.
We did vote on
we
that.
We did vote on that.
So
we said,
give
no,
me
they
my
have
kicker.
To. And the only way that they cannot give us our kicker is if they get more than a supermajority of the representatives to make a judgment.
That should not even be allowed.
You're missing the point. You're missing the whole point.
No, I'm not.
The point is that the Democrats are still thinking that's our money and this is what we should do with it.
Oh, what?
Anyway, so like, oh, there's so many things that we can do. We can reduce PERS. We can do one-time investments. We want to invest in these programs. And that's the disconnect where they're so disconnected with what Oregonians want. And what they want is their tax money back, people. Does anybody want a tax run or are they not?
Mm. It's our kicker. Give me my kicker.
Yeah, we're looking at a newsflash. We're going to have to talk about this tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're getting a newsflash. The Oregon legislature is going to try to take away petitioning.
Via the internet.
Yeah. That's been tried and talked about in the past because a lot of people don't like the citizen initiative process. Actually, when we had some really kind of activist secretaries of state, they tried to make it as difficult as possible to get signatures, difficult as possible to get them verified, threw them out arbitrarily with their whole percentages and pages. I mean,
I remember that.
Don't like to have giving the power to the citizens. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Right now, we've got to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This check on the, or this Newsmakers segment is brought to you by Hamlin's Nursery.
Almost
got into my news thing there. This segment brought to you by...
Welcome back, folks. This is Newsmakers. We were just touching on some breaking news. We're going to get to a phone call in just a second. I wanted to clarify something we're talking before the break.
Yeah.
To withhold any part of the kicker, they do need 40 state representatives and 20 senators to vote. 40 state representatives and 20 senators to vote.
Call your representative. Tell them... You want your kicker.
And after being kicked around all legislative session, I think the Republicans in the House might just hold firm on this one. But the quote after quote about what we can, what we should do with the money from the House Speaker, Tina Kotek, and from the governor. Governor even suggests using money to pay down some of the PERS. In other words, black hole, put in the black hole.
They pretend that it's like their money.
Speaker Kotex proposed spending about half of the kicker. You know, that sounds like, well, we'll just spend half of it, but we'll still give you some of your own money back. We'll get some of your own money back. But first, we need to make some investments on transportation, grants to replace diesel engines, reduce pollution, seismic upgrades for a bridge in Oregon City and West Lynn. Build electric vehicle charging stations and infrastructure.
No,
it's just like there never ends the things that we'd like to spend our money on, right? Governor Brown says she expects some of the extra money to go towards mitigating tuition costs for community college and universities, investing in foster care and law enforcement. So education, law enforcement, foster care, they all sound good. I think the quote is, I think we have some key investments that still need to be made. But you're required to give it back because it's not your money.
Right.
Total disconnect.
Totally.
I would love to see how they're going to get a couple more Republican votes after all of these tax increases to also keep even more of the kicker that they haven't already.
No.
All right. Who do we got on the line?
You got Mike Adams.
Mike Adams. And he wants to talk. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for calling in.
Other than I'm listening to your show off and on, I'm delivering my barbecue sauce all over town and I haven't heard you mention this, and it's very, very important today. Since the big tax bill that they passed on all us large businesses, and they found out we were trying to do a petition to send it to the voters, today they came out with Senate Bill 761-3, which takes away the right of the people to petition through the internet. So they're trying to take away that avenue so that we can't get signatures through the internet. So let's say there's grandma sitting home and she can't get out. She can run that petition off on her printer and send it in. They're taking that away from us right now.
How is that the role of the legislature and not the Secretary of State to decide how the signatures are collected?
Right.
Since he oversees election law.
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to the Senate Bill 761-3 take that away from us, that right. And they're also throwing in, as they've done almost everything else this year, an emergency clause. Mm-hmm. So that takes away our right to even petition it at that point.
Wow. So what Mike is talking about is that these tax bills can be referred to the voters under Oregon law. So if you have enough signatures, you can refer something that the legislature passed and refer it to a vote of the people like we did in Measure 66 and 67 about 10 years ago.
Right.
So they kind of fear that this is going to their tax bills are going to get referred and there's going to be a big battle for the campaign and so on and so forth. And they're trying to do an end around. Right, Mike?
Exactly. They're trying to what they're trying to do. They're not saying we can't petition, but we're only required 79,000 signatures, which if they take away the right of the internet use to do that, then it'll be a lot harder to get that 79,000 signatures.
Yeah, because you'd have to have people print those up and then walk around and ask people and.
Exactly.
Yeah, that exactly. Takes a long time.
And they have no problem with mail-in. They're trying to get with mail-in voting. They're trying to get internet voting. If they're trying to get those the internet voting, then why can't we have petitions through the internet?
Exactly.
And that's a huge number of people that will be eliminated from the process.
Games people play. And this is the kind of thing that drives Dave Bourne crazy. Because
it does.
This is totally a politically motivated thing.
Yeah.
So this is what they want. They want to make it more difficult and more expensive. Because then you have to
just
do it
like
by
driving.
Mail, or you have to have volunteers or paid people standing outside the stores mm-hmm. and standing in three corners getting signatures instead of the least expensive, more direct way directly to voters.
Yeah.
Right? So if they make it more expensive.
And right now I'm standing out in front of the Capitol because I'm going to go in. But 1 o'clock is the hearing in the Senate chambers, and I probably won't get a voice, but I'm hoping that there's a lot of other people down here, and people need to contact their senators right now.
Right now.
And let them know how we feel about it.
Pick up the phone and call right now.
You're talking about something that's going to have a backlash. We're talking about overreaching, this party
totally.
Overreaching. If they said not only are we going to pass, $5, $6, $7 billion in new taxes, but we're going to take away your ability to stop it.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Mike
exactly.
Adams.
And as far as this tax bill on large businesses, I'm not a large business, but my gross receipts are over what that large business number they say is.
Now, of course it is. Mike, we have to run, but thank you very much for the update.
I'm driving down the street for some barbecue right now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, come down and get some barbecue.
All right. Thank you, Mike. All right.
Appreciate the call.
10 seconds left.
All right. So
call your representative right now.
And be prepared to vote tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah. And be prepared to vote in November.
Yes, definitely.
All right, folks. Thanks for being with us. Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
We'll be back tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.